Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. This is the sound of the Amazon rainforest. It's one of the richest places on the planet for plants and wildlife, and home to scores of remote indigenous tribes. The forest is also one of the most important places in the world for regulating carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. This, too, is the sound of the Amazon. Chainsaws and bulldozers have been carving away at the rainforest for decades, clearing land for highways, cattle ranches, and soybean plantations. It's estimated that nearly 20% of the Amazon has been cleared, including an area almost the size of New Hampshire, just last year. Much of the destruction of the Amazon forest has taken place on the territory of indigenous tribes. In just a few brief years, members of many of these isolated societies were wrenched from the Stone Age into the Space Age, some driven nearly to extinction by their first contact with the outside world. Almost 20 years ago, Denise Meckel traveled deep into the Brazilian Amazon to photograph and document their struggles. She recently returned with a film crew to examine the changes the people of the rainforest have gone through since her first visit. Her new film is called Children of the Amazon. It focuses on one tribe in particular, the Surui. Denise Meckel says the Surui never had contact with the outside world until the roads were built.
The first official contact happened in 1969 when they were still living in what I call in the film forest time. It's a very recent contact, and I think they had to learn a lot about our society and our world in such a small time. So for thousands of years, they're living in one way. And just 39 years ago, everything changed for them. So, yeah, it's pretty recent.
What's forest time?
Well, it's a concept that we kind of use in the film when we interview one of the Surui girls. And she mentions this term, you know, tempo da floresta. It's the time they were living by themselves, isolated from settlers and loggers, hunting and fishing. So that's, to me, what's forest time, when they were living in their ways.
And then things changed very dramatically in 1969. The Brazilian government and the World Bank team up to build this road right through the heart of Suri territory. And there's a section in your film about that development.
It is not enough to build roads. We must colonize for agriculture or for cattle.
Tanto para agricultura como para criação, a terra é boa.
The land is good. There are green pastures in the forest made of milk and honey.
De leite e mel.
That's when I was growing up, and they're building these roads in the Amazon, and the military government was really thinking of, you know, the best solution for the Amazon. It was to develop and bring people from other parts of Brazil who had no land to farm. So they're trying to solve all kinds of problems, and they thought it was a great idea at that time to do it, but they had no idea that the impact was going to be so huge, you know, and destructive.
The road brings people and settlers, and the Suri are a warrior tribe, but they can't fight off these people, and they certainly can't fight off the diseases that the settlers bring.
Yeah, well, just in the first contact, they shook hands, and then the same evening, they're all sick. You know, they don't have any immune system to a cold, a simple cold, a pneumonia, measles, so they get very sick. The first contact was already a big disaster. 700 people died. So they were like 900 people. They went out to 200.
The diseases kill off most of the elders. The culture is decimated. The oral traditions are almost lost.
Yes, because they have no written language. You know, they don't use writing. So everything's passed on from one generation to another. And the elders die. It's like losing an encyclopedia of traditions and customs. They really don't have any reference, any way to keep teaching the new generations.
Now, these people don't give up without a fight. Chico Mendes, who was not indigenous, actually, he was a rubber tapper, he comes to the area and takes up the cause of sustainability of both the culture and the rainforest, but he pays for it with his life.
Yeah, well, Chico Mendes, his story is that his family came to harvesting rubber, I would say maybe 100 years ago, and he was born in the forest, and he was a rubber tapper, and his father was a rubber tapper. You know, he was part of the forest, and he knew how important it was to keep all those forests standing. And he got a passport and flew to the United States and went to do a lot of lobby, and he was heard. In this scene, he's being interviewed in his window, and he was holding his son Sandino, who was at that time 2 years old.
After my trip to the United States, political pressure was put on the international banks that were largely responsible for the devastation of the Amazon because of the projects they funded.
He was talking about serious stuff and how his trip to the U.S. had really made a difference, you know, and had created a lot of pressure and things were changing.
Projects that had the false slogan of Amazonian development but were a disaster.
And Sandino was just playing and looking at us and making those nice sounds. So it's a very beautiful image.
But Chico Mendes is murdered. He's assassinated.
Yeah, and it was a very sad chapter of that story because he was fighting with big forces, you know, big economic forces. He was calling attention, international attention to the Amazon. And I think 1 year after he was here, the financing of the paving of the road in his state was suspended. And that's when, you know, a lot of ranchers and politicians got really mad at him. But he was very brave, you know. He really felt that was an important thing to do, and he went for it.
He asked you to film his funeral. He knew he was going to die.
Yeah, he knew, and just being around him 1 month before his assassination, you could tell that it could happen any time. It was very tense, and he had already 2 bodyguards following him around, but it wasn't enough to stop the murders. But the thing is, it's a lawless world. You know, it's like the last frontier. People kill each other no matter what. You know, it's so hard. Everything, the police is so corrupted. It's so complicated. It's so complex.
Have you ever been threatened while working there?
No, but I had felt a little uncomfortable interviewing some people. I remember one of the people that I felt the most was uncomfortable was one of the ranchers in the state of Acre, where Chico was from. We knew he was part of this group of ranchers who really wanted to get rid of Chico, and he was involved in Chico's assassination. We went to do an interview with him, and we just left the interview feeling like, oh my God, maybe there's a bomb under our car, or someone is going to shoot us. And we just felt, you know, anything can happen, you know.
You know, Denise, it's interesting. I had a recent opportunity to talk to someone who's in your film, Almir Suri. He's now a tribal leader. He was the first one in the tribe to go to college. And when I spoke with him, he was along with Vasco Van Rumselan from the Amazon Conservation Team, and I guess they were touring the United States. But when I spoke with Almir, he told me how dangerous it is to live in his area.
Eu sou rebelde porque eu acredito que é possível manter floresta sustentável.
He says he's a rebel because he believes that it's possible to maintain the forest in a sustainable way. That seems to be such a dangerous message that his life is
threatened.
And that's why you have to truly believe and have faith to take this idea to society because of its violent reactions to this idea that you can have a standing forest.
A floresta dá qualidade de vida para a humanidade.
And still contribute to society. And here I would like to include a side note, is that they are living in a real frontier area where people truly believe that development is deforestation. But the only time Almir ever considered selling logs was when his adopted daughter hadn't eaten in 2 days, hadn't been able to drink milk. And when she was crying at home, he looked at her and he thought to himself, why don't I just sell out? And he ended up not doing it. But it's not as if these people are sitting in a very comfortable position. Their cultures are being taken away. They don't have many economic options that are being supported.
So, Denise, what are the economic options for these people?
Well, I think that's what Almir is trying to do now. He's trying to create a sustainable way of living because, you know, there's all these economic forces trying to get logging and miners, and he's just trying to create a sustainable way that they can survive, and creating products that are using seeds or oils, things from the forest without cutting down trees. It's a big challenge, but I think Almir has the vision to bring some new opportunities to his people and trying to create an alternative, a sustainable way to live in this world now.
And they're using new technologies. When I spoke with Vasco, he told me about the Amazon Conservation Team's project to help map the area. They never had maps, and they're creating these not just geographic maps, but cultural maps. Let's listen to a little of that conversation.
They have so much knowledge of their territory, it's really just opening the door to them and giving them very basic tools, GPS devices. It is just sitting them down with the right experts for a week, and when they come out, they become expert mappers. And I've seen indigenous mappers draw in freehand creeks onto a base map, and then we've overlaid them just for fun with satellite pictures, and they were completely correct. And you can see that as he's drawing it, he's back in his canoe going right and left and right and left. It's amazing their ability and their connection to the land.
What an image, huh, Denise?
Oh, that's beautiful. It's exactly how we can disconnect them from their land. You know, it's so vital part of their everyday life. There's no separation between the tradition, the harvesting, the hunting. Everything's so integrated to the forest.
But do you think making a map will help these people preserve their culture and defend their territory?
Well, I hope so. They have to try anything to protect their land and their territory, because it's really a hard battle there. It's like, you know, the last frontier. It's the same kind of feeling. You know, it's like the Wild West of Brazil. It's completely out of control.
Well, when I talked with Almir, he didn't sound like he was ever going to give up on this cause.
No, he hasn't given up. And as of today, I just talked to him this morning. He was just back from Europe, and things are really tense in his hometown. And I heard that the federal police arrested several loggers in his region, and they're kind of blaming on Almir that happened. And they're really saying that they were waiting for him to come back to his town to get even with him. So they really want to kill him. And I was really desperate to hear that, because I already heard that from Chico Mendes. At that time, I told him, you know, just don't stay there. Get out of there. You are a leader. You have to survive. And Almir is feeling the same way. And I told him, Almir, I already saw that happening. I already saw this film. Please, don't go back. Protect yourself, and you're going to be protecting your people much better if you're alive.
Well, he says he's not a hero, but he told me he's not backing down.
Eu não desisto a luta e deixo a dizer assim, pode vender porque eu quero o futuro do meu povo.
And I haven't sold out because I want the future of my people and of humanity and of the entire world. So if we give up our struggle, what will be the future of the world? What will be the future of the Suwi people? What will be the future of the American people or the rest of the world? I feel sorry for those who threaten me when I am working to protect the forest, because I'm working to protect their future as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. But he's dealing with people who are very short-sighted, and they don't think that way. They think there are so many trees. The forest is so huge. That's really not going to be a problem to take some trees here and there. But if everyone is doing that, then what is going to be left?
What do you want to happen as a result of your film?
Oh, I'd like to contribute to this change in the consciousness. And I just think it's a moment that we all have to think that we're all living the same planet, and the planet is at high risk. I think it's all so much related that we can just give our backs and think, well, this is not going to affect me. It is already affecting us all.
Denise, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much. It was very nice talking to you.
Brazilian filmmaker Denise Meckel's documentary Children of the Amazon will be shown next year on PBS. You can find a link to the director's website at loe.org.
Se você não me queria, não devia me procurar.